Good morning, Maranatha. Happy Resurrection Sunday to you and to your household. This holiday to the world is a high holy day. To the Church of the Living God, to the body of Christ today, to every true child of God today, a day to commemorate and celebrate the resurrection of our Savior. Time for families to come together in that celebration, share a meal, share fellowship, and share the testimony of Jesus to those who are believers, and to share the testimony to those who have not yet believed. The reason for our hope, the reason that our faith is so absolutely sound and faithful that we can have this hope, is because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There's so much to this great fact today, this great truth today, that God has raised him from the dead. And one of the greatest of the blessings of this is that he was raised for our justification. That means his blood was accepted by God as a sacrifice in our behalf, so that we could be cleansed from our sins, forgiven of our sins, and brought into a right relationship with God. Hallelujah. Whom we sinned against. Our sins have been forgiven. This is a forensic term, that we have been forgiven, but also that our sins have been forgotten. They've been expunged from our record. Justification, just as if we have never sinned, is the way we stand before God, because his death on the cross brought forgiveness, but his resurrection brought justification. Praise God. And this wonderful place and position that we now have in God assures us of our salvation. Praise God. We should never doubt that we're going to be worthy to walk through those gates. We're not going to feel worthy when we see where we are and the people that we are in there with and the city. But and God the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, and the angels of the Lord, and the 24 elders, and the streets of gold, and the gates of pearl, and the holiness of the people, and the place that we are going to spend eternity with and in. Hallelujah. A prepared place for a prepared people. And what has prepared us for that place is nothing less than the shedding of Christ's blood in our behalf on the cross, and the resurrection from the dead after he gave his life on that cross to absolutely certify that God has accepted his sacrifice once and for all for our sins. If we come to Christ, repent of our sins, receive him as our Savior, the blood that has been supplied on the cross has been applied by faith, hallelujah, in his finished work, and faith in Jesus Christ. Oh, friend of mine, what a day to celebrate. What a day to commemorate his death and celebrate his resurrection. I want to bring you a message today on Sunday Morning Alive, our Sunday morning sermon on this Resurrection Sunday, and that is utilizing resurrection power. If you can listen fast, I'm going to try to preach fast and bring this message not fully, but enough of it that we can get a hold of it, and it can get a hold of us. The reason that I've been inspired to bring this message today is because of something someone said a long time ago, as he looked at the postmodern church evolving and emerging, and he saw a deficit in the church at large, where gatherings are gathering together in Jesus' name, both denominations and organizations and peoples coming together. He looked and viewed at the church, the postmodern church, and he saw something so vital missing. And he said the church is weak and anemic because she lives below her privilege of power. Because she lives below her privilege of power. That challenged me then, and it's challenging me this Resurrection Sunday. I have preached 53 Resurrection Sundays, amen, in my pastoral and evangelistic ministry, amen, with our congregation at any given time at the Holy Church of God Incorporated right here in Tampa, Florida. And here we are, probably the 54th message I'm bringing you this morning. And the reason for it is because of the challenge of this statement. I wish I could say that that statement were not true, that the church is powerful and that every Christian is operating in power because of the resurrection of Jesus and the salvation that it brought that qualified us for the Holy Spirit to come and indwell us. But that simply is not the case. Many are falling away. Many are turning back. Many are becoming so fatigued in trying to keep the faith that they're giving up on the faith. Amen. That something is desperately wrong when we read what God has given to us and made available to us through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So the message is utilizing resurrection power. And I want to read, let me give you some brief things and then we'll read some direct scripture. But in Ephesians 1, we're told that Paul prayed that God would grant unto the church, the believers of his day, all the way down to our day, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, of Christ, that we might know what is the hope of our calling. Amen. And what the riches of his inheritance in the saints are, and that we might also know, amen, the power of usward, literally is the word used, the power to usward who believe, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Friend, that's resurrection power. He wanted us to know the power to usward that's granted to us, made available to us, that we might utilize that power when it is needed in our life. That's why Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Because it's this kind of power that is now available to us and resident in us through the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Have you got on your shouting shoes? Are you ready to celebrate? How's your Hosanna working today? Praise God. As the apostle put it, I want to know him. I want to know him in the fellowship of his sufferings, that I might also know him in the power of his resurrection. This resurrection power is the power that worketh in us. Hallelujah. And the Bible is clear because it says it in Romans 8 and verse 11. If the spirit of him who raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken or give that same life. Listen, this is not just when the trumpet sounds. This is not just when, because of his resurrection, we're going to be resurrected. This is something because of his resurrection is indwelling us now, so that when the trumpet sounds, amen, amen, when that same resurrection power that is energizing us now will call us forth, even if we're 6 foot down, or even if I've been blown up in an explosion, burned up in a fire. Listen, when that trumpet sounds, God's got my DNA, he's got your DNA, and there's some of his DNA in there with us. Hallelujah. Because we've been buried with him, and we've been raised with him, and because we've been baptized into him by the Holy Spirit. And if the Spirit of him, the Spirit of God, God, the Holy Spirit, amen, indwell you and indwell me, come to live within us, manifesting both the Father and the Son to us. Praise God. Amen. The same Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus is going to raise us up. Amen. Resurrection power, you see, produces spiritual oneness with the risen Christ. We need to realize the awesome implications of this revelation. That's why Paul said you've got to know this by revelation and then experience it by a personal realization. You and I are promised an inexhaustible source of supernatural energy to carry out God's work, literally to be what He called us to be and to do what He called us to do. Now, here's a challenging scripture to me. In Ephesians 3 and verse 20, and it's all about this kind of power. Power beyond anything that we could conceive, but power that we must believe to receive. Oh, dear friend of mine, just because you can't conceive it don't mean you can't believe it. Because if you believe that God is and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him out, you can't see God, but you know He exists. You know He is. He's real. Hallelujah. And when we call upon this invisible God, He hears and answers prayer in our behalf. And when we exercise our faith toward Him, He honors that faith and manifests the answer to us. And the need is met in the name of Jesus Christ because of our faith in Him. Glory to God. Well, listen to His base of operations now. It's not just from heaven to earth now that the Holy Spirit has been given, but it's in us who are upon the earth. Listen to it. Ephesians 3 and verse 20. It says, "Now unto Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly," got on them shouting shoes, listen to me, "exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." What is that power that worketh in us? It's the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead. Friend of mine, that's not just something to give you a liver shiver on Sunday morning or make you feel goose pimples every now and then when you experience the presence of God. This is the abiding power of God within us through the abiding presence of God within us through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. Hallelujah. I like the Amplified. It says, "Now unto Him who by and in consequence of the action of His power that is at work within us is able to carry out His purpose and do super abundantly far over and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams." Friend of mine, this is nothing less than the same power that raised Jesus from the dead that is now granted to usward who believe. Hallelujah. Praise God. Listen to Philippians 3 in confirmation. Philippians 3, 12 and 13. The Apostle Paul speaking, writing to the church at Philippi. "Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out," not work for, this is very important, "work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure." God is working in us. Amen. And the power that was operative in Jesus, who said, I am the resurrection and the life. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. He didn't just say, I have power to raise Lazarus, but I am that very power. I am the resurrection. I am the life. If any man believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. That's resurrection power at work when we trust Christ. The Bible said he hath quickened, made alive those who were dead in trespasses and sins. Hallelujah. Amen. We pass from death to life. We know that when we love the brethren, because there's a power at work within us to be what God wants us to be, to do what God wants us to do, and to do it in the power of His resurrection and the strength that we receive through that power. Praise God. I like the Amplified of Philippians 3, 12 and 13. It says, not in your own strength, for it is God who is all the while effectually at work in you, energizing and creating in you the power and the desire both to will and to work for His good pleasure and satisfaction and delight. Now, God's not delighted by dead faith and dead works. Amen. Hallelujah. What He's delighted with is when we utilize the power that He's made available to us and wants to manifest through us. Hallelujah. The Apostle Paul talked about this power that he operated in Colossians 1 and verse 29. He said, whereunto I also labor, striving according to His working, which worketh in me mightily. Amplified once again, for this I labor unto weariness, striving. See, his body got tired because there was such energy in his spirit. Preachers, I want to give you a warning today. Don't burn out because you tap into this energy. Rest your body. Take care of your body. It's being used supernaturally, but it is not supernatural. Get your sleep. Take a vacation. Amen. Listen, church members, make your pastor take a break if you don't want him to burn out. Make him take his family on a family vacation so that there's always that connection with his children and his wife. So he's not just your pastor. He's her husband and their daddy. Glory be to God. That's just a little something. That's a little bonus I'm going to throw in this morning. Listen, we have a desperate need to get in touch with the power available to us as a result of the resurrection of Jesus that justified us. Amen. So that we could be counted as if we had never sinned, highly qualified, therefore, for the Holy Spirit to come into clay vessels and live within us. Listen, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, because of the justification by faith that we have received, they can, the highest, holiest Trinity, Father, Son, and Spirit, can come and live within the believer and feel right at home. Oh, friend, I said, and feel right at home. Not out of their element. The holiest three persons of heaven can now live within you and live within me and not be out of their element. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. For Jesus said, if any man keep my commandments, he was asked a question. How are you going to manifest yourself to us exclusively and not unto all these people that are pushing and shoving to get something from you? How? They're elbowing us out of the way. How are you going to manifest yourself to us and not to everybody else equally? He said, if any man hear my words, keep my commandments. Amen. Have that heart to obey, that new heart. To serve God with a willing heart, to obey the words of Christ. He said, I and my Father will come unto him, and we will make our abode with him. This is not a Motel 6 where you check in and check out at 10 a.m. No, friend of mine, this is God coming to live in an earthen human vessel that has been so cleansed by the blood of Jesus, so forgiven by the Father, that we stand in a justified state. It's a forensic term, meaning that the accuser of the brethren can no longer accuse us. Not because we are sinlessly perfect, but perfectly forgiven of our sin. Oh, friend of mine, this is a victorious day because we're celebrating the fact that we have died with him and we have been raised with him. Hallelujah. And we have been seated with him in heavenly places, literally in heavenly realms, according to the book of Ephesians. You know what seated means in the Greek? Joint seating. It's seating with him because we have been baptized into him by the Holy Spirit. This mighty power has operated in our behalf to save us, seal us, and give us everything that we need to overcome instead of burn out and give out with the pressures of persecution and last day circumstances in the world. Amen. God says, draw upon this power that is in you. Praise the Lord. Amen. Listen, Paul told Timothy, who was giving out and about to give up, he said, God didn't give us the spirit of fear, timidity. Amen. He gave us the spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. Stir up the gift that is in you by the laying on of hands. All those ministry gifts. Number one, get back in the race. Finish your course. Get back in the ministry you were appointed for and anointed for and qualified for, because there is power to usward who believe, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Leslie Newbland said this, and this is a sad truth, but it is a truth that we need to address. He said, if we would answer the question, where is the church? We must ask, where? Now, we're talking about the true church today. We're not talking about stained glass, steeples, and stonework. We're talking about the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Where is the true church? Where is the church? He said. We must ask, where is the Holy Spirit recognizably present with power? Glory to God. Oh, dear friend of mine, the Saint Leon Morris said the same power that brought Christ back from the dead is operative within those who belong to Christ. The resurrection is an ongoing thing. It's not something that happened then and it stopped with Christ. No, it's an ongoing thing. Look at Ephesians 2, 5, and 6 as we try to close today. Amen. It says, even when we were dead in sins, hath he quickened us together with Christ. That means given life, the same life that Jesus manifested when he raised from the dead. Amen. Even when we were dead in sins, he hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath caused us, has raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, given the same life, therefore, raised by the same power, promoted to the same position. The Bible put it this way in the book of Ephesians, that we are accepted in the Beloved. by virtue of being baptized into Christ, we have been accepted with Christ and as God accepts Christ. That's how he answered a prayer of Jesus for us in John Gospel chapter 17. He said, Father, you know how I'm one in you, and you in me, and we are one in each other. I want them that believe on me to be one in us in the exact same way. And, you know, Father, the love by which you have loved me, I pray that you will love them with the same love wherewith you have loved me. And if you don't have on your shouting shoes now, you need to get a pair. This is more than just the practice of a religious ritual. This is the celebration of a faith that just doesn't forgive us. Hallelujah. And doesn't just forget our sins as if they never happened through justification as a result of the cross of Christ and the resurrection of Christ. It is a faith that brings us into the royal family of God. The Apostle Paul was amazed, amen, by this grace. He said, what manner of love is this? What manner of love is this? Never heard of, never dreamed of, that we might not just be old sinners saved by grace or forgiven of our sins, but that we may be called the sons of God. Literally, the sons and daughters of God. Part of his royal family. And loved just like he loves Jesus. How can that be? Listen, friend, I don't know about you. Well, I do know about you. I'll tell you something about you. You're not there yet. You're not just like Jesus yet. That day will come, but not yet. We're pursuing that, but we're not there yet. We're not sinlessly perfect, and yet we're received as if we were. That's not a permission to sin. It's a reason to seek to live in victory and not let sin reign in our bodies, because we have in this earthen vessel a treasure that is without price. There's no way to explain the value of having Christ in us, the hope of glory, and being in Christ, the hope of heaven. Hallelujah. Oh, friend of mine, today, as we commemorate the death of Jesus on the cross and celebrate the resurrection, we identify with his resurrection, and we draw upon, we utilize resurrection power in our life to give us what we need so desperately right now to live a victorious Christian life and to demonstrate the glory of this kingdom to a gainsaying world. Praise God. Amen. Bible said you get this hope alive in you. You live this out in your life. You better get ready to share Jesus with somebody. Amen. Be instant in season, out of season, always ready to give an answer to all men for the reason of the hope that is in you. Praise God. Oh, something is changing. There's a deadness in the church world. There's a deadness in the postmodern church, and we're trying to supplement that deadness with all kinds of entertainment to hold people's attention. And no matter how they are entertained at church, they go to home hollow and empty if Jesus isn't sitting upon the throne of their heart. Oh, but when we get filled with the Holy Spirit that manifests the presence of Christ and the presence of God within us and through us, then out of our belly, our innermost being, will flow rivers of living water. And our testimony will have an impact everywhere that we go. Because before we say it, people will see it in us, sense it from us. This is the power of God. This is the move of God, even in this last day during the falling away, that I believe is going to bring many, many, many souls into the kingdom that they might be safe from the wrath to come just before Jesus comes. And honey, He's coming very, very soon, soon, and very soon we're going to see the King. And here we are once again, commemorating His death, celebrating His resurrection with believers all over the world. Hallelujah. Amen. I've never been more happy, more glad to say, I am a child of God. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. And I have the Holy Spirit. He has me. Glory to God. How about you? I'll tell you what. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior today, if you haven't repented of your sin and received Him, that's the response that God is wanting you to give to the good news, the gospel. Christ died for you. He rose from the dead that you could be justified. He suffered the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, reconcile us to God, that God could accept us in the Beloved, through the Beloved, because of the Beloved's sacrifice on the cross. Don't let His death, His suffering, His blood be shed in vain. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Wouldn't it be something if you come to Jesus today? And every time that an Easter Sunday, we can call it Easter as long as we understand it's a resurrection. It's not a pagan holiday, it's a Christian holy day. Dear friend of mine, every resurrection Sunday, you can celebrate Him, His resurrection, His death for you, and your salvation. Passing from death to life, because the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus has quickened you and raised you up and going to take you up when the trumpet sounds. So come to Jesus today. Run to Jesus today. Repent of your sin. Receive Him as your Savior. He will save your soul. He will seal you with the Holy Spirit. Mark you as His very own. And He will keep you safe from the wrath to come. So come, in Jesus' name, come today.